Welcome to the River Church Podcast.
We're all about bringing the life, hope, and love of Jesus to everyone around us.
For more information, check out our website at river-church.uk.
But today, let's continue on our series. We're going to do a bit of Bible study. So if you've got your Bibles, if you've got your Bibles, 1 Timothy 4, we're going to be there. And today we're going to look at a passage in the Bible, go through it a bit, and then at the end, afterwards, I think it would be great if we get into groups and pray for one another. That's what we're going to do at the end, so just going to give you the heads up of that. And so we got our Bible, but the Bible is God's truth. It is a very old book. It was completed some 2,000 years ago. It was written over a period of about 2,500 years. And so we can think, hey, it's an old, dusty book. But the thing is, it's God's truth that is timeless and is relevant to today. And so when we look at the Bible and open it up and have a look, we ask questions about how is this Bible relevant to today? What is the truth that we are reading there into a different context, and how does that shape my life today? What's it going to impact? And so we ask questions about, okay, so what's going on in society? What's happening around us? How is our culture? How do people think? What's popular in things like TV and social media and all of those kinds of things? So we can reflect and see what's different. And one of the things that I want to talk about this morning is this thing about authenticity. Have you noticed that the phrase, the whole thing about authenticity is really highly valued in our culture today? Do you know, we want to see people that are authentic. Do you get this? Do you know people talk about this? Authentic. And ways in which that affects how we understand them. So one of the ways is in, companies over the last sort of 20 years have changed how they present themselves. Do you know, companies are now no longer this sort of brand where you don't know anyone. Companies that want to market something have to have a leader that's marketable. Do you know, we want to know who it is that we're buying products from. So people like back in the Apple days of Steve Jobs, he was very famous as being a front man to advertise his brands. We wanted to get to know. He wanted to advertise himself and what he was about, so you buy his products. Richard Branson, very famous of his brand. And now I suppose the most famous is Elon Musk, for better or worse. Do you know, and it's all about what he's selling. And you want to know, hey, is he authentic in what he says? Is he authentic, a person that we can trust what he sells? That's sort of one thing about authenticity. But authenticity actually affects us on a personal level. It affects us when we're talking to people around us. We really knew that during COVID when there was all these lockdowns. You know, we had lockdowns and we couldn't be with one another. We had to be behind these screens, do you know? We had to be in Zoom meetings, and we did all of this because we had to. Life went online, and, do you know, work was all distant, and everything was distant. Our families were distant, do you know? Our church was distant. And it wasn't just our health that suffered through COVID. It was our mental health. It wasn't just our physical health. It was our mental health as well. We suffered from not being able to hug one another and sit with one another and know and understand emotion and what you're going through and things like that. We crave authenticity. We crave this connection with one another, to really understand one another, to sit in one another's shoes. We crave this unfiltered, this rawness of expression and relationship together. Being authentic is like being trustworthy, isn't it? It's like you're not believable unless you're authentic, unless you practice what you preach, you walk the talk. You know, all of those expressions, we've got loads of them, haven't they? And if we as a community that is following Jesus, we want to be Jesus-shaped, but we want to tell other people about Jesus, then one thing that we need to be in this community, in this culture, is we need to be authentic. We need to walk the talk, don't we? We need to be like Jesus in order to tell people about Jesus that they might listen to us. But it's more than that. It's more than just an outward thing. It's also an inward thing that works in us. For us to be authentically following Jesus, we need to not just believe it. We not just, you know, have it as a concept in our mind, things that we understand, but we need it to affect us. We need it to be in us and through everything that we do and our thoughts and our speech and our actions. We need to demonstrate a faith that we have in God through being different and being like him. We need to be authentic. And Jesus, when you read the Gospels and what he did, the people he was most critical of, the Pharisees, those people that spoke it but didn't do it. So to follow Jesus is to be one that follows him in all that we do. It said throughout the Bible, God is the one who doesn't look on the outward appearance, but he's the one that looks at the heart, looks at our intentions. So we need to be authentic people. We need to be Jesus-shaped throughout ourselves. But we don't just magically become this authentic person, right? We start out as Christians sort of understanding a few things, but not kind of Jesus-shaped all the way through. We need this sort of transformation. Wouldn't it be fantastic if we just sort of said, Jesus, I'm following you, and then some magic appears, do you know? And then we're this patient and persevering, all loving, kind person the whole the way through. I mean, who's up for some of that? Yeah, I think that we would appreciate that. But we need to work at it, and we need to identify what it is. How do we become that? It's not just a work of God. It's a work of God through us as we work with him, as we follow him. So, and I want to look at this passage, a short passage in 1 Timothy, because I think it can help us. Timothy, if you don't know Timothy and Paul, Paul is an apostle of Christ Jesus. He is one that goes out into the world from Jerusalem, goes out throughout West Asia, through Turkey, through Greece, into around the Mediterranean places, planting churches. He's doing the evangelism, but when he gets people together that believe, he's helping them build churches. And he has a team of people that he sends to different places because he does these missionary journeys over a number of years. And he's got a team and he sends them to places. And Timothy is one of his delegates. He's one of his team. And he's been sent to a place to help them build the church. And so this is a letter that we have that Paul sent to Timothy. Paul's probably in prison at the time. For his faith in Rome, maybe, that's what we think. And he's sending it to Timothy to help Timothy build up this church. And throughout this letter, he's been given instruction about how the church should operate, things about how the church should function. But in this section, he's talking directly to Timothy. He's given some instruction about to Timothy to help Timothy continue in his faith, because there's so many other things that are coming in that are trying to dissuade him and trying to break down the churches. There's lots of people that have actually fallen away from following because of other things coming in. So I'm going to read some of this section and we just sort of chunk it up into little bits as we go, if that's okay. You with me? Yeah, great. Okay. Let me read. So it's 1 Timothy, and I want to read here a point into what's the source of our of authenticity. This is the question right off. It's 1 Timothy 4, and it's verse 6. Actually, I didn't do that, did I? I want to go there. That's where I want to go. Yeah, okay. Sorry. The slides. I did the slides before I went to Kenya, and I've changed it. So just let me read this. It says, if you point out these things, he's talking about other myths and things that all the people have been sort of caught up by, do you know? And he says, if you point out these things to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus. nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. In culture, authenticity in our culture is bound up with this concept of individualism. And by that, it's meaning that the individual, that the person, is the most important thing, right? We focus on us. These words like identity are really important in our culture right now. And authenticity these days is about being authentic to who you are, your identity, your individual set of your individual person, who you are to be. So this phrase of being true to yourself, have you heard this one? Being true, you've got to be true to yourself. You've got to let the inside out. You've got to be authentic to who you are on the inside. And so we have to go and find out what it is we are on the inside. And this is none more true, I think, than in our children and the things that our children see on our movies and TV. So example of this, you will know, everyone knows, everyone has the scars of having to watch the film Frozen. It's 2013. It's, you know, 11 years old. But still people know about Frozen. It was the highest grossing animated film, $1.2 billion that it collected through the movies, through the cinemas. It won Oscars. It won Golden Globes. It won Grammys. It was sort of the biggest film of that period for a long time. And it was the story, I mean, one of the central characters, Elsa, the story of her self-discovery, of finding out what she's about, her inner abilities, of accepting who she was, of celebrating her unique abilities. Do you recognize these phrases that are used in culture all the time? And so through the story, she learns to embrace her differences and prioritize being true to herself. And none more is that an example than in her song. I'm not going to sing it for you. But you know it, don't you? Let It Go is the song, which is a theme tune to children's parties everywhere, much to the annoyance of everyone who's heard it once, and still is. It goes around. But it's a song. It's a lovely, it won awards as a song. It's got a lovely tune to it. It's sung beautifully. It's catchy. But the words are somewhat problematic. I don't know if you've kind of thought of them. This is the line that is, I suppose, jumps out most to me. It says, it's time to see what I can do, to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free. You know the song? You know these words? And these words, in the mouth of perhaps a lovable character, are like we're going, yes, 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 yes. You know, you're struggling to understand yourself. You need to just accept yourself and just be true to yourself, you know, and just sort of let your abilities come out. There's nothing wrong there. Do you know, she's struggling as a young character to kind of, with oppression and other things, conform to the outside world. And these words are, we can sing them with her, maybe. But put these words in the mouth of someone else, and don't we have problems? I mean, let's go all the way and say, hey, if we put these words in the mouth of Hitler, no right, no wrong, no rules for me, I'm free. I think it's a problem that he thought that, don't you? And so our inner thoughts aren't a great thing to trust. This how we feel on the inside isn't actually a great thing to trust. To be authentic to maybe what goes on up here every day, I don't know about you, but if I was authentic to that, I think I'd hurt a lot of people around me. I shouldn't be authentic to that. We need to be authentic to something else, don't we? We need to be authentic to something that can actually give us truth that doesn't change. That is truth forevermore, that from the beginning of the world to the end of time. And that truth is truth that comes to us in the form of the Bible, in the Word. Paul writes to Timothy to nourish himself on this truth, to ignore the stuff that's going on around him, but focus on this truth that is revealed in the Bible. The Bible is our North Star. It's our guiding light. It's the thing that we should orientate our whole lives around. When we have questions, when we are worried, when we don't know what to do, we need to look at the Bible and be nourished on these truths. That is the starting point of authenticity. But, hey, how do we do that? Well, Paul's got some help there. Let me read this. It says in verse 7, it says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths or old wise tales." That's literally what it says. "Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance." Authenticity to biblical truth doesn't just happen magically overnight. We need to train ourselves. And Paul uses some language here of physical training. Now, who's sports fans in the room? There are a few. I think a couple of children have actually gone to some football practice because they are sports fans. And Paul is a sports fan. If you read through the New Testament, Paul quotes about different physical training throughout. He talks about boxing. He talks about wrestling. He talks about running. He even talks about the gymnasium. The gym is literally the Greek word, gymnasium. It's literally a Greek word that is quoted there that we have in our language. And Greek culture, you can think about the Roman Empire, the whole Mediterranean has been influenced as Greek culture. That is Greek culture at the time. It had loads of sport going on. Who knows about the Olympic Games? You heard about it. The common understanding is it was founded in 776 BC, and it ran for 1,000 years, the ancient Olympic Games. There were other regional games. It wasn't the other one. The Roman emperors Tiberius and Nero actually competed in the Olympic Games. I wouldn't like to be a competitor, definitely letting them win, you know. But Paul uses a language because it's common, a physical training. People know what it's about. I wonder what you'd think about if I said physical training, what kind of phrases come to mind? What does it conjure up? For me, things about painful. Yeah, you with me? Physical training is painful. It's repeated, repetitive. You know, you do the same things again and again and again. It's like little and often, isn't it? You have to do a bit and do a bit and do a bit. It's no good just turning up to the gym once and thinking, hey, that'll do. Do you know, you need to keep going. It's a self-discipline, self-denial, even if you want the benefits of it. And it's something that's hard, right? It takes perseverance. I mean, how many people do a gym membership in January and don't make it through to March? Do you know, there's so many people. But Paul's using that analogy there because it's relevant to us training ourselves in godliness. We don't get to godliness without this training, without going through it again and again. And Paul here, the language he used refers to what we might call a spiritual disciplines. I hope you've heard that phrase. Things like prayer, reading your Bible, study, getting together with others and going through stuff. That is what Paul is referring to here. And that metaphor of training is relevant because we need to keep pursuing it. We need to keep going at it. Do you know, the Bible isn't actually very prescriptive about how you work it out. It's got some guidelines. But hey, if it was, do you know, we know other religions that are very prescriptive. You have to pray 5 times a day, for example, in Islam. But No, we are given quite a free range on how we work out in our lives. The problem is that sometimes, because it maybe is like that, that we try and fit it in little pockets, don't we? We fit our spiritual disciplines around the rest of our life. But I think Paul here is saying, hey, you need to shape your life around them. You need to think of them as the big blocks. I need to get them in my life. Okay, how do I do the other things around in order to train myself in godliness? But so we need to nourish ourselves on the truth, train ourselves in it by spending times in the Word and in prayer. But then we also need to work it out in our life. And actually, the process of working it out in our life shapes us on the inside. Let me read on from verse 11 and verse 12. He's telling Timothy, he says, command and teach these things, this truth in the Bible. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Now, Timothy, relatively to what he was doing as a leader, he was a young chap. He was probably in his 30s and his mid-30s at this point in time. And you think, hey, what's the problem with that? But in his culture, the community leaders would have been much older. We get the phrase elders in the Bible, not because it's ironic, but because they were literally older people within the community. And leaders, those that teach and to shape the community, were looked up as, you know, at least in their 50s. So Timothy has a problem because he's younger. People are refusing to necessarily listen to Timothy and essentially to follow what he's teaching, especially when he's coming in and trying to fix disagreements and disunity within the churches there. This is a cultural issue. I mean, it's easier now. I'm not in my 50s, nearly getting there, but not quite. But yeah, it's a cultural issue. But you know, we still have bits of that cultural issue today, don't we? When I was growing up, the expression "children are to be seen and not heard" was that one. That are we allowed to say that to our children today? I don't know. Anyway, yes, we have to. Anyway, let's not go there. I'll get myself in trouble, won't I? We are supposed to, you know, especially when I was growing up, the thing of respecting those people that were older than you was a thing that was I was taught. I was ingrained in it. Especially when we went to visit grandparents, I had to be, no noise, no running around. I had to really respect them, especially when talking to them. And Timothy here was, he was expected to submit to those people older than him in the community. That's, just what goes round. But Paul was saying, no, you've got something else, and I want you to lead in this place. And so if he couldn't rely on his age, what could he rely on? What was the solution to this problem? I don't know if you have situations in which you think, hey, I find it difficult to tell or influence the people around me, to sort of communicate something to them. Do you know, there's loads of places that you want to influence those people around and bring something of a Christian, of a gospel culture around them. Maybe you're in a workplace and you wish that people around could be more considerate to others, that maybe you would want them to be less gossip around, less divisiveness or backbiting around. Maybe you'd want people around you to be more empathetic with those going through a hard time, maybe listening to other people that are somewhat rejected by others. Maybe you want to influence this culture around. Maybe you want to actually communicate some of the gospel in its true raw form to your friends, and you struggle with them getting them to listen to you. Paul's, and there's loads of aspects of why you may feel that. Do you know, you may feel it because maybe you're not as educated as those around you. Maybe some of your backgrounds, maybe your ethnicity is actually a blocker to you being to being listened. Maybe you feel it's where you grew up. I've got someone I know that says because of the way she talks, she's not listened to as much. She's not given as much credit. She grew up in a working class background, a working class family, and so she describes her accent as very common, if you know what I mean. Yeah, I won't say what region, but yeah. And so she feels that when she talks to people, she's not kind of looked to as a leader. She's not looked to as educated. And so those can be real difficulties for us. But Paul's solution to Timothy wasn't shout louder. It wasn't try and do a great PowerPoint presentation. It wasn't try and grab authority, demand that people listen to you. It wasn't force yourself in there. Push other people away, push them down. That's what our community, that's what our culture does so much to today, push other people down. It wasn't that. He said to demonstrate authenticity to your beliefs. Be true, not to yourself, but be true to God. Be true to who you are following. And through that the character of God might come through you. And somehow, that this would affect those people around you and that they might listen and follow you. That's the answer to being overlooked. That's the answer to not being heard. However, caveat, Paul doesn't say it works all the time. It may be the thing that we should do, but it's not like the guaranteed solution. There will still be people that won't listen to you, that don't want to hear what you have to say, that don't want to follow you or live after what you believe. But it's the godly way. It's the way of being like Jesus. And what's more important, to be faithful to God or be successful in the eyes of other men? I think following God is what we are called to do. And so if we want to make an impact for God, the godly way to do that is to demonstrate our faith, to be authentic in what we are, in how we think, how we speak, how we present ourselves in our behavior every single day. But lastly, I don't know about you, but being authentic is hard, isn't it? It's hard work. We've got lots of things that we are called to do, and it's hard work. I mean, who can be authentic 100% of the time? And Paul recognizes this. He says in verse 15 and 16, he says, be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Do you know, there's so much around us that is trying to influence us and tell us what we need to be and to do. So much in culture that is orientated to persuade us to be like other people. The thing about authenticity in culture and being true to yourself is it's just fake. It's fake because culture doesn't actually want you to be true to yourself. It wants you to be true to what is the cultural norms. If I said I was true to myself, that's why it's so difficult to be a Christian in the community. Because we can't be true to that. We have to be true to cultural norms. We are pushed to form what the people say is right. And so Paul writes here, we need to be diligent. We need to be on guard. We need to be alert to what is going on around us. We need to think about what are we watching? What are we seeing? What are we being told? How are people behaving around us? So that we can reflect on what we are doing ourselves and think, hey, am I really truly following Christ in the way that I should? Paul says to Timothy, Paul the apostle, Timothy, who's been round, seen people respond to the gospel, see the gospel go out, see miracles, see lots of things go on. And yet Paul is writing to him to say, hey, be alert. You are not beyond the danger of being persuaded to wrong things. So be alert, be on guard. Watch out. Remember that you will be tempted. You will be tempted. Paul writes about loads of people that have fallen away, that were part of his team, but have gone off in other directions. Don't think you're beyond it. And if you remember that, you will live like it. You will live on guard to what will come in and affect you. And so we need to be nourished upon the truth. Hold the truth tightly to us. Think, what is it speaking to me? Train ourselves in it and persevere in working it out in our faith, in our everyday. Thank you.